Joining us now is J.R. Ross, who has spent the last decade covering Wisconsin politics. For the past 4 years, he's been the editor of wispolitics.com, the state's premier political news service. Prior to that, he spent a decade with the Associated Press, including 6 years as the Wisconsin State House correspondent. Welcome to Background Briefing, J.R. Ross.
How are you doing this evening?
Very well, thanks. And tell me how you're doing in a state that's very much in the national spotlight.
I think this is our 8th election in like 14 or 16 months, something like that. So I think we're all ready for it to be done. At this point, get back to a normal summer.
But in terms of the turnout, our previous guest was saying that it's big on both sides. So there's nothing here to alter the predictions, to your mind, in terms of a narrow victory for Governor Walker?
Well, it's tough to say because we're getting all these anecdotal reports about turnout. You're not seeing countywide numbers yet or things coming in. I mean, it's not just about Milwaukee and Dane counties for Democrats and Ozaukee, Washington, and Waukesha counties for Republicans. There are places like Western Wisconsin that even if, Scott Walker does better in Waukesha County than he did 2 years ago and Tom Baird is better in Dane County than he did 2 years ago, that they'll still have a huge impact because it's a sizable part of the state. So it's kind of hard to say that who's benefiting from turnout right now because we're still an hour from the polls closing. We haven't seen any numbers yet coming from these counties.
Again, I'm speaking with J.R. Ross, who has spent the last decade covering Wisconsin politics. For the past 4 years, he's been the editor of wispolitics.com, the state's premier political news service. Prior to that, he spent a decade with the Associated Press, including 6 years as the Wisconsin State House correspondent. So what do you think, though, in terms of the dynamics that are driving both sides? What is driving the support for Scott Walker? We're talking about how the advertising has tried to focus to some extent on the recall itself being the problem as opposed to Scott Walker.
There was one ad from an outside group that featured a series of people saying, they don't like recalls. And, that was a fairly effective ad. There's kind of a sentiment among people I talked to that there's maybe 1-3 percentage points of the population that may not like Scott Walker that don't like recalls. That they will either not turn out to vote today, even though they would normally vote against Walker, or two, that they'll turn out and vote for him because they so dislike the recall process. So that's an added hill for Tom Barrett to climb. So it's kind of a fluid situation out there right now. But from some of the exit polling we're seeing so far, Walker's got supporters who are basically all geeked up about him. I mean, these people love Scott Walker. They are there for Scott Walker. On the other side, for Tom Barrett, they're not nearly there. They're not completely there just for him as much as they are against Scott Walker. So there's a bit of an enthusiasm gap or between the two sides right now. And then independents are a huge kind of question mark. Can Democrats rebound from how they did in 2010 with those guys and do better tonight?
But do you get any sense that, for example, the debates at which I believe Mayor Barrett did well will have any influence, or is this really being determined by a barrage of television advertising? If so, of course, preponderance of that has been on Walker's side, right? He's outraised. Some statistics have said that he's outraised him 7.5-1.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the debates, the first debate was held on the Friday night of Memorial Day weekend, which is not a good TV viewing time, if you will. The second one was on Thursday night at 9 p.m. Again, not a good time for catching everybody. Now, from what we've seen, they had pretty good ratings for that second debate. But, Governor Walker was smart. He wanted to do the debates when people weren't really going to be watching. He picked two good times to do that. The perception of people I talked to was that in those debates, Walker had no real gaffe or, issue where he looked bad. Barrett tried to be more aggressive than what we're used to seeing out of Tom Barrett. He's got a persona as being, kind of a nice guy type thing. He's more on the attack. But there was no real moment in there that you're going to see in a TV ad. And any more debate sometimes, that's what they're all about. It's not really what's said during the debate or what punch is thrown, vice versa. It's what moment lives on in the coverage and the TV ads afterward. And there's no real moment in those debates that lived on. Barrett did chide the governor for an ad he's doing about the crime in Milwaukee that featured a child who later died from an abuse case. And, Tom Barrett said, shame on you, Scott Walker, for that. But again, I wouldn't have a whole lot of legs after the debate on Thursday.
What about the other people in the recall, the lieutenant governor and, what, three Republican senators? Is there any sense of where that's going to go?
There are actually four seats that are up in the state Senate, three of them have incumbents. One, the incumbent resigned, spent more time with their family, so that's an open seat that's being contested as well. The basic, you know, kind of feeling people I talk to is that top of ticket will go a long way determining what happens down below. So if Scott Walker wins, he'll probably pull Rebecca Clayfish across the finish line with him. I mean, she's not well known. You know, Walker is the person people know. If Walker does hit certain, you know, marks in places like Racine and Eau Claire, he'll help a great deal with Terry Moulton and Van Wangard getting across the finish line, because those districts aren't necessarily Republican strongholds. So they need Walker to do well to kind of help those guys across the finish line.
So just in closing, then, J.R. Ross, this race has taken on national significance. So one way or the other, do you think that the rest of the nation, and particularly the punditry, it will be correct in reading either that this is if Walker is not recalled, that this is an endorsement of his public employee union strategy and privatization strategy and all of the stuff that the Republicans and ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, have put together and they're actively pursuing in various state legislatures? Or will it be seen as a victory for the outspent Labor and Democrats and grassroots activism?
I think that we in the political coverage business sometimes overinterpret things or try to make a bigger deal than what they are. There are some unique factors happening here in Wisconsin that are influencing this race that people will try and extrapolate out of what happens today for national implications, and there will be some. You know, there will be a message that comes out of this because people talk about there being a message, but you know, Scott Walker winning does not mean the death knell for collective bargaining powers for public employees across the country, and neither does a Tom Barrett win mean that those powers will stay on forever. There will be hits and misses across the country that will vary according to the state, and you know, this is not the end-all be-all for collective bargaining right here tonight, but you know, there will be a lot of spin coming out of it at least the next couple of months.
Well, at least there's a sufficient spin that's likely to follow it that's deterred President Obama from putting his foot in the water in this one, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, for the president, there are a number of Democrats who are disappointed he didn't come here. There's probably not a lot of upside for him in some ways. If he did come and, you know, Barrett loses, it all becomes, oh, the president's in trouble in Wisconsin. If he came this past week and Barrett won, people would probably say, well, why weren't you here earlier kind of thing. So, I mean, there's a lot more downside than upside for him. And the reality is that, you know, looking ahead to November, there is one train of thought that I hear from people that whatever happens today, if Walker wins, that there'll be a big boost for Republicans, that it puts Wisconsin in play with Mitt Romney. Because the theory being that, look, you know, you had these elections last spring where the Supreme Court race for a seat in the state Supreme Court became a referendum on collective bargaining. The conservative candidate won that. There were recall elections last summer for state Senate seats, and Republicans held the majority of state Senate once that was all said and done. If Republicans hold today, then that would be the third time in a row that progressives have been asked in Wisconsin to kind of answer that bell and turn out, and they came up short each time. The theory being, well, okay, they came up short those three times, they won't be excited come November for Obama, and it makes the state easier for Republicans to win. The other side that I hear is that, look, this is probably a different universe of voters that will come out on Election Day in November than compared to today. I mean, we don't know for sure what turnout's going to be like. We're hearing near presidential levels, so it might not be that big of a difference. But college kids are all gone for the summer. They've gone home. They're out of state. So their college campuses aren't being organized to turn out to vote like they would be in November. Number two, Tammy Baldwin's running for the U.S. Senate in Wisconsin. She is the only candidate on the Democratic side, so she will have the party's nomination. She's vying to become the first openly gay woman in the U.S. Senate. She's a movement-type candidate that will excite the progressive base in Wisconsin. And even if they're not excited about President Obama or they feel oppressed about what's happened the last three times out, she'll excite them. So that's the other train of thought. So, I mean, it could have an impact. It's not going to make it any easier for President Obama no matter what happens. You know, tomorrow there's been a ton of money spent in Wisconsin in these races. There's a question how much money is going to be left for Wisconsin, what resources will come in here after what happens. So, you know, it doesn't make his life any easier, but it might not make it impossible come November.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today, J.R. Ross.
Anytime. Take care.
Thank you. Again, I've been speaking with J.R. Ross, who spent the last decade covering Wisconsin politics. For the past 4 years, he has been the editor of wispolitics.com, the state's premier political news service. Prior to that, he spent a decade with the Associated Press, including 6 years as the Wisconsin State House correspondent. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking about the record amount of out-of-state money pouring into Wisconsin. There's power in a fire.